Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today. This is a special time here at North Star Academy. We actually have families, students, and parents, and cousins and grandparents and all kinds of people on the campus. Today it's Friday of the graduation weekend. And so I have been able to grab one of our dads, Mr. Danny Coyle, to join us today. Tomorrow is going to be the actual graduation, but when it's graduation weekend at North Star, we do all kinds of fun activities. We're really pressing into the three themes of North Star this year: rest, community, and celebration. So people are getting to meet up in person and hug and laugh. And we're already about halfway through our first day in the graduation weekend. And Danny said he would come on because he has just some really incredible experiences from living overseas, having an international business, starting a church overseas, and then being a dad of two North Star students, Elena, who's graduating this year, and then Maya. And so he's got, I'm sure, a really cool perspective from so many different areas. But how I first got to know Danny was through a video that I saw where he had spoken at a church, and it was on rest. So it really got my attention, since that's one of our themes here at North Star this year. And so I want to definitely spend a little bit of time talking about that. So, hey, this may actually get cut into two podcasts, because I'm sure we're going to have so much to talk about. But thank you for stepping away from the graduation festivities and joining me today.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, so filled out the little survey, and I just have to ask about this. You've eaten more than 2,000
Big Macs. Yes. So when I was in middle school, they would deliver McDonald's to our school 3 days a week. And at that time, I was eating a lot, so I would order two at a time. So that was six every week in school. And then our youth group, after youth group, we would go to McDonald's after youth group. So that was another two on Saturday. So I would eat eight Big Macs a week for those 4 years. So you can do the math there. And then throughout high school, again, youth group every week, I'd eat two more every week. So that'd be another 100 or so a year. So yeah, after that, I have eaten, and then, you know, a few more since then. But yeah, more than 2,000.
Wow. So you just love them? Like, could you have gotten a quarter pounder or a cheeseburger instead, but you always wanted a Big Mac?
Yeah, it was, I think it was the only thing that would fill me up when I was that young. And yeah, it was, yeah, I just ate them a lot. No pickles, though. I
don't can you sing the part of the song? Special sauce.
I can. This is recorded, though.
Go ahead. We got to hear it.
Two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Oh, gosh. Now I'm kind of hungry for a Big Mac. I don't go to McDonald's very often. Do you still go? Or do I sick
rarely.
Of it?
My kids don't like it. So I will just go when I'm by myself or something. And every so often, you'll get a free Big Mac in the app. So when that's on, then you'll see
you me at
McDonald's.
You just got to swing in. Yeah. Now, I can do some hot fries that are really salty.
Those are good. Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to time it just right.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. All right. So what do you think so far, being around North Star families and of the weekend so far?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think being either on the phone or online or seeing the girls and their subjects, their teachers or the teacher calls is kind of one thing. And you kind of get a feel for the school and the ethos and kind of what they're about and the friendliness. And then you meet people and it's legit. It's like, okay, this is not just online, but these people really are kind and compassionate and caring and loving and interested, and they know all the kids by name, even though they've just seen them on TV. So I think, and just to all the parents and everybody out there, what you experience out there is true. This it really is that way when you see people in person.
Oh, that's so good. Well, yeah. I know anytime our staff can meet people, families in person, it's always the highlight. And so graduation is definitely the highlight of our year, because we get to see y'all for quite a long time. 2 days is a long time in the online world. And so, yeah, I just hope it's going to be a really special and sweet time for your family.
Yeah, it already is, I think, with Elena and Maya both just spending time out here in the in the hallways with people they've never met before, but it's obvious that's not the whole relationship. They have a long history of relating and are looking forward to even more history coming just by being together in person here.
Yeah. So let's jump right in. I want to hear a little bit about your international experience, and we'll definitely get to rest. But so sure. You moved to Hong Kong when you were 9, mm-hmm. But then you moved your family back overseas as an adult. So tell us a little bit about the international experience and maybe.
Sure. My parents, my dad, I was going to Regent University in Virginia Beach when I was really young. One night, my mom woke up and said, I had a dream that it's harvest time in Hong Kong. And they got out the map to figure out where Hong Kong was because they didn't know. And then the next night, my mom had the same dream. And then the third night, my brother had the same dream. So about 9 months later, a year later, we were living in Hong Kong. The Lord had called us to Hong Kong. I grew up there, went to high school there, and then in university, came back to the States for university. Jill and I met in Hong Kong. Her parents were also missionaries there, and we're married about halfway through college. We knew that China was on the radar for us. The Lord had called us to China, and her parents had moved up to Beijing, a suburb of Beijing, by the time we had graduated college. So we thought, all right, we have family in Beijing. I might as well go to Beijing. So when I graduated, started looking for jobs in China, found one, started working there. I studied civil engineering, so it was a construction management job. And so we were there from 2001 up until 2019, so about 18 years altogether. And Elena and Maya were born in Beijing.
Wow. Yeah, I've actually been to Beijing. Mm. Went there for an international business class before COVID.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm so glad I got that experience in. But yeah, incredible place. So what's it like starting a business and a church? You do them both at the same time?
We did. I do not advise that. So Jill and I moved to China with that construction management job. And when we arrived in China, the international church we were with asked us if we would become the youth pastors for the church. So we were doing both of those. Jill started doing research on selling jewelry in America, buying it in China and selling it in America. So she started this jewelry business. A few months into that, Jill became pregnant with Elena. And we decided we were going to stop doing the youth group so that we could focus on her business. And then I joined her in the business. So we had Elena. And right when we had Elena, the international church asked us if we would also start a new, it's kind of hard to explain, but the easiest way to understand is probably a campus of the international church. So we ended up starting the business, having Elena, and starting a church all in the same year. It was our marriage. We had been married about 5 years, but we didn't have the tools to have that level of capacity built into our marriage. And so we started fighting a lot, and we just didn't know how to do a church and a business and a marriage and a baby. And we weren't using the D word, but we were both thinking it. And one day, after a pretty big kerfuffle, we knew someone who did marriage counseling, because in Beijing at that time, there really wasn't resources for missionaries or people overseas to find health and healing like that. But we knew somebody. And so we asked her if she would do some counseling for us. And that lady, her name's Megan, she began rebuilding our marriage with us and giving us tools to communicate and to live together and work together and minister together. And the Lord really, by his grace, the business started succeeding. The church started growing. We had another baby. And then around 2010, felt like all of that was coming to a close. So we ended up selling the business and handing the church off to some other leadership and went on sabbatical. And sabbatical was kind of one of the first moments we started learning about rest in a more concentrated way. But yeah, that's a big chunk of our China story leading up to how rest came on the radar.
Yeah. Wow. Because I'm sure you found yourself, probably both of you, depleted, worn out, nothing to draw from.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way we like to think about it, I think in our regular lives, we often find we'll go through life and we'll hit a speed bump. You know, maybe somebody sent you an email you don't like, or you had a difficult conversation, and you'll hit that bump and your energy level will kind of drop down. And, you know, within a day or two in a normal, healthy lifestyle, you'll find you'll have the stamina to get past it, to forgive, to remember that life didn't consist by that one conversation, and you kind of bump back up to normal operating. As you hit enough of those speed bumps, though, it gets harder to respond, to bump back up. It's not 2 days anymore. It's a week, or you're still angry with them. You know, even after you said you forgave them, the residue is still sticky in your heart. And you find that there's a deeper energy level that's getting sucked out. It's just getting sucked out of you, and it's not being replaced. And oftentimes the symptoms of that are these rebounds take longer, but that deep energy level, something else needs to happen in order to restore the deep parts of our hearts. And, So that's a little bit more of what's going on there. And what was happening for us when we went on our first sabbatical was that deep tank, there was nothing that was really getting to that core part of our being. And we were just going from crisis to crisis.
Mm. Yeah, really tough. So what about the girls during this time and then transitioning back to the U.S.? Well, it wasn't back to the U.S. for them.
Yes. So that was 2010 sabbatical. And then our transition back to the States was a long one. It kind of began 2016, 2017. So that transition for them was difficult. It was difficult for us all.
Are you transitioned now? Like, is it something that still lingers for a long time? Like,
wow. Okay. So 2016, we were living in Beijing, and we knew that there was a season change coming for us. The climate in China was changing. A lot of people had been leaving, and we had come to this another one of these moments where the deep energy was kind of depleting, and a bunch of people had said to us, you guys should think about some extended time away. So we had planned on 4 months in the States. We get done with the 4 months and we go to reapply for the girls' visas. My visa was fine, but Jill and Elena and Maya didn't have a visa to get back. So I go to we tried numerous times to get them their visa. The fourth time, I went personally to the embassy and was there to pick up the passports, and we had been rejected again. And I remember standing there at the visa office and them giving me the passports back and kind of going, okay, Lord, this is a moment. You are doing something here that's bigger and more sudden than I was expecting. And he was closing the door on that season, in China. And we had not said goodbye. Our stuff was still in China, our car. And so we had to come back and tell the girls and Jill that we're not going back. And we don't know when we're going to go back. And your skateboard and your Polly Pockets, you know, they're really young at the time, are still there. And I don't know when you're going to see those things again. And it was a lot of tears for all of us. It was so sudden, and I'm sure a lot of families at NSA have experienced something similar over these years of upheaval. But yeah, similar situation of just not being able to say goodbye. We ended up 2 years later, so 2019, being able to go back. We all got visas, and we were able to go back and get our things and bring them back here. But we didn't know where we were going to live here. We didn't know what we were going to do. Even 2 years after, still the Lord had not really settled what was this next season about going to be about. And even until now, the Lord has really been, if I were to kind of sum up what this kind of our leaving China until now part about has been, this idea of being able to rest in Him no matter what, because we like to put our rest in some sort of security, like a job description or an income source or a place, a geography. And He has been free to do whatever He wants in all of those categories and has shown us that those things are not still waters. They are not green pastures. It is only in Him that we can really find those things. And there's this kind of bittersweet feeling of like, Lord, you know, I'd really like a job description that I could tell someone that they would go, oh yeah, I know what that is. You know, that'll make sense. Or, and He's not really given that to us. And He's just been kind of going, okay, eyes on me. I know what I'm doing. I know the plans I have for you. And will you trust me? And so, yeah, these ideas of rest have really been born, kind of continued through the season of the Lord going, eyes on me, not on stuff, not on money, not on reputation. Will you trust me with everything?
Which can be so terrifying, but so freeing. At the same time, is that how you would describe it?
Amen. Yes, it is exactly how it is. Oh God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I know exactly what I'm doing. Will you trust me?
What would you say to, there are students, many students that have gone before you in this, families, and then many that are in it right now, and then we know are going to continue difficult transitions, having to leave without saying goodbye, whether thrown out of a country or whatever. So what have you learned? What has your family learned, the girls, that you would pass on to somebody that might really be suffering through this right now?
I'll say a few practical things and a few spiritual things that are hard to phrase into practicality. With Elena graduating, letting go is on my mind a lot. And what it means to let go and I think so much of those moments of pain are the sadness associated with this thing that was in my life will not be in my life any longer. And the attitude of surrender and coming to these places of acknowledging the places I feel pain or the places that I'm sad that I'll never be able to go to that noodle shop again, or the friends that I have to say goodbye to that I may never see again. When I can acknowledge, okay, I'm feeling sad about that noodle shop, or I'm feeling sad about that person, enables us to recognize the pain, own it, acknowledge it, and then go, okay, Lord, you see that. You are not far from me, even though I may feel you are far from me. My feelings at this moment are may question where you are in this moment. But by faith, can I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust that you are with me in this and that you are feeling also what I'm feeling in this moment. Could I be with you here? And then just stopping the conversation there, because oftentimes we will then continue the conversation. Well, this must mean God doesn't like me, or this must mean I've done something wrong, or if I would have, but to just, I'm sad. Lord, will you sit here with me? Has been a valuable way of dealing with that kind of massive upheaval. And then, and kind of the topic of rest here again is, and I'm just going to rest here. Even when I'm sad or in pain, I will sit with Him. And kind of what you're talking about with the surgeon's table, I will sit here with Him and let Him do whatever heart surgery He wants.
That's so good. And I'm thinking, this doesn't apply just to families that abruptly have to leave overseas, but to anything. My 21-year-old daughter had one of her best friends suddenly taken, electrocuted, just sudden. And she had all these plans to go back her senior year. They're going to live across the street from each other and have Taco Tuesday. You know, all these things that she'd built with him. And then all their friends together were going to do all these things, had plans. And, you know, so there's horrific pain that you don't expect all of a sudden to pop up and learning to rest. So have a couple more questions for this episode, but then I want to go into the second episode where we're going to talk really what is that practical way of resting, what that looks like. Yeah. And oh, don't miss it. It's so, 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 so good. And so often we miss it because we're so busy. We just think we can't take time. But all right. So is there anything else you want to tell our listeners about either transition, or I know you said that you have a lot of experience with multi-layered complexity. Kind of unpacking that. What does that look like? Five-star hotels, good sushi, just anything that you're like, oh, yeah.
All right. Anything let's combine the two. Mind. We'll combine transitions with multi-layered complexity. So, yeah, multi-layered complexity for me is just a way I enjoy. It's a source of delight for me. So, for example, in a five-star hotel, one that's well-designed, the architecture, the interior design, when you walk in the lobby, the music, the art on the walls, the hospitality of the people, the culinary arts, the food that they serve in the restaurants, I enjoy kind of seeing all of those things in their units of, oh, this is a beautiful piece of art that they may have on the wall, or a beautiful chandelier that they have hanging, while you're listening to the pianist on the piano. And so each one has its own beauty within itself, but then this, the full encompassing of all these easily discernible layers of art that is often found in a five-star hotel. And, yeah, sushi is another one of these layers of beauty all put together. Transition is similar in that it has so many layers to it of both the practicality, the relational parts, the geography, the internal emotion. I am about to become someone that I was not before, life phase issues, that we can look at transition from so many different layers that are all happening at the exact same moment, all orchestrated by a father who loves us and is inviting us into a deeper relationship with him in every single one of those layers. And I love talking about transitions, and I love talking about our father, and I love talking about the way his ways with us. And they are so easy to see that he is doing something. What he's doing might be another story, but that he is doing something in a transition is so fun to watch and see, and enjoyable conversation I have with him.
That's good. Mm. Two of the words that I love seeing in scripture that describe him is richly and lavishly, like everything he does. So to me, that's, it is complex. It's simple sometimes with Jesus, you know, but then it can be very complex in how he walks us through one moment at a time. We can only take so much at a time, you know, and he gives us just what we need in that. So, all right, last question on this episode. So this morning we did a Menti. If you've never done a Menti, go to mentimeter, I think, .com or menti.com. But it's where people can log in with their cell phones and then type in answers to questions, and all the answers come up on the board. So I ask everyone what they thought about rest, what one word describes rest before we actually talked about rest. And then I said, you know, has anything changed? So what was your favorite word that you saw pop up on the screen with the first question when someone, when they put in there, you know, what they thought rest was?
And a couple that stood out to me was stillness and peace, quiet. Mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A was on there, which was yeah, such a fun thing. So yeah, I think those are some of the ones that are obvious, but essential parts of rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So rest can be complex, multi-layers about yes, that, of what, because it can take on new forms for whatever we need at the moment. So, all right, we're going to get into rest more deeply, more complexly in the next episode. But thanks, Danny, so much for just taking time and just sharing of your incredible journey that God's had you on.
My great pleasure. It's it's his journey that he is delighted to gift to me. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.